It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Yesterday, Wisconsin voters went to the polls to vote in local and state spring elections and decided the fate of an open seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Liberal-backed candidate Chris Taylor won the race with 60% of the vote.
Tonight, the people of Wisconsin stood up for our rights and freedoms, our democracy, our elections, and a strong state Supreme Court that will protect the independence of our beloved state.
She defeated conservative-backed candidate Maria Lazar.
I care about the state so much. I care about the courts so much. And I have led the type of campaign that I always said I would.
Taylor will begin her 10-year term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court on August 1st. At that time, the court will have a 5-2 liberal majority, and the liberal majority will be around for a while. Next year's court race is for the seat held by conservative-backed Justice Annette Ziegler, who has announced she is not running for re-election.
Craig Gilbert is a fellow at the Lubar Center for Public Policy Research and Civic Education at Marquette University Law School and political columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Craig, welcome back.
Nice to be with you.
Craig, I've been looking, comparing maps and numbers from this election to the last few. I'm sure you have too. Let's start with turnout. We came off with the most expensive Supreme Court race, state Supreme Court race in American history. Then the next one broke it. Less spending this time. What sorted out with the turnout this time?
Yeah, I think the turnout's going to end up over 30%. I mean, people are focused on the fact that it's way down from last year, but last year was the turnout was really freakishly high, and we may never match that. But if it's 32, 33%, that is higher than the historic norm, and it's certainly higher than what we used to see before, for example, 2020 in these sleepier and less partisan court races. So I would say, you know, sleepy compared to last year, but still we're living in a new era in court races where more people are participating and these races are more partisan than they used to be.
The statewide margin, we saw 10%-ish wins for the liberal back candidate the last couple few times around, 20% this time around. This is, that's a big switch, Craig. What do you make of that swing?
Yeah, so zero surprise about who won, but some surprise about the margin. And I think, you know, a couple things are going on here. I think you look at the political environment, it's worse for Republicans this year than it was last year. Donald Trump's numbers are worse this year than they were last year. But more importantly, you know, last year you saw massive spending by both sides. It did turn out the political base on both sides. If anything, Democratic voters were more engaged, even more engaged than Republican voters in 2025. But this time you didn't have commensurate effort on the Republican side. The conservative candidate was dramatically outspent. Democratic voters are still supercharged, I think, in their opposition to Donald Trump. They were very motivated, and there was clearly an enthusiasm gap in this race. We saw it in the polling, pretty pronounced before the election, and we obviously saw it in the election returns.
Looking at the future balance of the Supreme Court, 5-2 liberal-backed majority right now, when I go back and look at the two, Brian Hagedorn, one of the conservative-backed, won by something like half a percentage point in his election. Annette Ziegler, who's leaving the court, won in a landslide because she ran unopposed in 2017, which doesn't, I don't think we're ever going to see that happen in our lifetimes again. If I'm a conservative, if I'm a Republican, I'm looking at the state Supreme Court, I've got to have worries that this is going to be a long time before this balance changes, right?
Yeah, it's utterly demoralizing if you're a Republican or a conservative, what's happened. I mean, we live in a state that could not be more competitive in November. I mean, every election is a one-point election or less. You look at president, you look at governor, you look at U.S. Senate. We've never been this competitive, this even Steven, but that has coincided with this period of utter liberal dominance and uncompetitiveness in these court elections. And, you know, enthusiasm is one reason. Political realignment is another reason, where more educated voters have shifted in a Democratic direction. And that tends to be, education tends to be a marker of turnout in lower turnout elections. And so these things are all coming together with the political environment and just creating a really, you know, huge huge mountain to climb for Republicans and conservatives. And so when you look ahead to the races to come, you know, it could get worse before it gets better for them.
You really focus, Craig, on Wisconsin's political geography, right? The regions where Democrats build up votes, places like Dana, Milwaukee County, where Republicans historically have gotten votes, the suburban counties around Milwaukee, the so-called wow counties. I was going county by county here. I didn't hit every one, but everyone I looked at, Craig, saw a swing toward the liberal back candidate from the last election, whether that meant the liberal candidate won by more or lost by less in any given county.
Yeah. So when you look at the shift between the 2025, you know, Elon Musk Supreme Court race in Wisconsin and this year, you know, it's a 10-point swing in a liberal direction statewide. So it's pretty much going to happen everywhere because that's a massive swing. The swings were bigger in sort of smaller red counties, you know, counties where Trump did well in 2024. And these are places where where you sort of suspect one thing that happened was, you know, Trump-based voters who were mobilized by Donald Trump's involvement in the 2025 race and all the spending and all the organizing that went on were not mobilized this time. So their turnout dropped. Democrats remained mobilized. Maybe there were some swing voters in there that were switching the other way as well. But it's not surprising that you see, in terms of percentage terms, the biggest kind of liberal shifts, you know, occurred in smaller counties in central and western and northern Wisconsin, not in, you know, Milwaukee, Dane, and Waukesha, where people are pretty engaged to begin with. And you know, those are some pretty red and pretty blue areas, which continue to be pretty red and pretty blue.
Craig Gilbert is with us from Marquette University and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at the results of yesterday's state Supreme Court race. All right, I pulled up the map before I say this sentence, Craig, because it's so weird to say. The liberal candidate won Ozaukee County, one of the traditionally Republican wow counties, Washington, Ozaukee, and Waukesha County. Chris Taylor, 4.5 percentage points ahead there. That means something,
so,
right?
It does. I mean, it's part of a very long pattern and long time trend where, I mean, when I started covering politics, you know, in the 1990s, late 80s and 1990s, Ozaukee County was actually routinely the most Republican county in Wisconsin. And now in partisan races, it's like the 50th most Republican. And so it's not a surprise that it finally flipped, at least in a court race. It has been trending, you know, high levels of education and income in Ozaukee County. Again, demographically, those are the kinds of places that have been shifting away from Republicans. And so certainly within the wow counties, Ozaukee County is the least Republican. It's the one where Republicans have been losing the most ground. So yeah, that's what we're seeing, is a continuation of this kind of suburban trend where Republicans, as even though they have been gaining historically in small towns and rural counties, they've been losing ground in the big metropolitan suburbs.
I want to go to southwestern Wisconsin for a moment, Craig. We've talked in the past about the country's swingiest counties in some elections, Obama to Trump, for example, in places like Vernon, Crawford, some of the neighboring counties there. What do you, that looks like Chris Taylor won those handily. What do you see in these really bouncy places in southwestern Wisconsin? Not a ton of votes, but interesting swings.
Yeah, so we see them bouncing. We see them swinging, again, away from the conservatives. Like you said, these were counties that had historically been, you know, marginally Democratic for president, even though demographically speaking, you know, rural white counties, you expect them to be more conservative and more Republican. But Trump made big gains at the presidential level in these places in southwestern Wisconsin. But in some of these other non-presidential elections, since Trump was elected, they've been swinging back a little bit toward Democrats. And in the court races, they have also kind of swung toward the liberal candidate. So those continue to be, you know, there's certainly not places where Democrats can count on you know, dominating, and they're not places where Republicans can count on dominating.
All right. A lot of people in Wisconsin and around the country, I think, Craig, are going to look at this election and say, OK, what does this mean for the fall? Right. Race for governor, race for state legislature, maybe congressional seats. And a Supreme Court race is not a fall election. They're different, as you mentioned earlier. Here's a hypothesis, though. That follows up something you said earlier. Democratic voters, liberal voters are more engaged. They're more ready to turn out at the polls for any given election. This enthusiasm gap we've seen in the polls, this election bears that out. Does that track with you?
That's very fair. I mean, you know, also, you know, when you put it in the context of other off-year elections that are happening in other parts of the country, including yesterday, that is the thread that runs through these elections, where the swings are sizable in a Democratic direction. And that may be driven, again, to some extent by people, actual individual voters swinging, but probably more so by this enthusiasm gap and how supercharged and mobilized Democratic voters are. And Republican voters may be a little demoralized, too, for a variety of reasons. And so I think you put it in that context. It's not predictive of the fall. Again, we talked about how different these spring races look from these November races. I mean, you would always expect in Wisconsin to have competitive November races. But along with all the other elections that are happening, it's kind of another sign of Democratic mobilization that is relevant to November.
Now, the governor race will be the big ticket item. Let's touch for a minute on the state legislative races, seeing what we're seeing on the map today from yesterday's election, and those maps, those district maps changing. What are you watching for when it comes to the possibility of control of the legislative chambers flipping from Republican to Democrat?
Yeah, I mean, without getting into individual races, I mean, the potential is there for Democrats to take one and possibly both houses of the chambers of the legislature. I mean, it's all the signs around the country are pointing in the same direction. When you look at the polling, when you look at these special elections, when you look at the president's numbers declining, they're all, and when you look at history, they all tell you or suggest, you know, a good election cycle for Democrats. And that together with maps that new maps or, you know, relatively new maps that have ensured a more equal playing field creates the potential for Democratic, for a Democratic, you know, Democratic state Senate and maybe even a Democratic state assembly. It's far from guaranteed and it's going to be slugged out in the trenches.
Craig, thanks as always for joining us.
Absolutely.
That's Craig Gilbert, political analyst with Marquette University and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, breaking down the results in Wisconsin of yesterday's election for the state Supreme Court.